This week we heard about two prominent people who committed suicide. Two people who seemed to be at the peak of very successful careers. And CDC issued a report showing that between 1999 and 2006, the national suicide rate jumped by 30%. So that now suicide is the 10th leading cause of death. So this morning I think we should take some time to think of together about suicide. According to the CDC report, the problems most frequently associated with suicide are strained relationships, life stresses, often involving work or finances, substance abuse problems, physical health conditions, and recent or impending crises. Only half the people who took their lives had been diagnosed with mental illness. So we can't slot this off as just something which happens when people are seriously depressed or mentally ill. It seems that people are increasingly seeing suicide as a solution to intolerable mental and emotional pain. And it is contagious. In the 4 months following Robin Williams' death in 2014, suicide rates increased by almost 10%, particularly among middle-aged men. Of course, you don't catch suicide like a virus, but whenever someone steps over the normal social boundary, they make it easier for other people to do it. Sometimes this can be a positive thing, like coming out for gay people, but it seems that more often it is a negative action, like high school shootings or suicide. And highly publicized suicides like those this week can encourage people who have suicidal thoughts to move forward, develop a plan, and even to take action. Suicide rarely comes completely out of the blue. It is usually the result of a period of significant despair, but it may be a complete surprise to family and friends. Most people who suicide do not want to die. They just want the pain to stop. When I tried to commit suicide in my early 20s, I really had no comprehension that more than one or two people would be particularly upset. I had reached such a point of isolation and disconnection that I thought the world would be a better place without me in it. And yes, people had suggested I go to the college counseling center, but I was too proud or too negative. I couldn't imagine how they could help. So the most important work of suicide prevention is to build warm and loving relationships wherever we can. As humans, we need to feel connected in a matrix of relationship. And for those of us who are called to love God and neighbor as ourselves, this is urgent and important work. We have no idea how words and our actions affect those around us. We have no idea what is really going on inside another person. But when we intentionally seek and serve the Christ in others, when we hold all that we meet or who we meet in high positive regard, we are building relationship and we are building community. All of us have negative feelings. Sometimes they cause us to isolate. I have had people tell me that they can't come to church because they're too miserable. They are afraid that they will cry. Or they just can't bear to have people ask them how they are. As a culture, we tend to expect one another to be upbeat, or at least positive. When we ask, how are you doing? We expect at least a moderately cheerful reply. And while there's a lot to be said for cheeriness, it can be a mask that gets in the way of a deeper connection. All of us suffer, and no one should be alone in the midst of their suffering. We have psalms of praise and joy, but there's a reason that we also have psalms of lament and despair. Terrible things happen. Suffering happens. And as we each take responsibility for our own state of mind, sharing suffering is important. It is okay for you to cry in church. It is okay to tell other people what you're going through. It's okay for us to pray, ask for prayer. Yes, we gather each week to praise and worship God, and joy is an important part of our life together, but so is weeping. when we feel that we have to stay positive and don't allow ourselves to share the pain and the difficulty, then in our pride we are not allowing others to share their love. Since at least the 5th century, the church has seen suicide as a sin from which one cannot repent. In today's gospel reading, Jesus was clearly talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in response to the accusation that he was in cahoots with the devil. But suicide has been seen like blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, a sin with no hope of redemption. And by the 16th century, those who committed suicide were buried outside the graveyard in unhallowed ground. And soon after, attempted suicide was seen as a sin which could lead to excommunication. Although attitudes have moderated considerably since then, it is still often seen as a sin, with the Catholic Catechism stating, "It is gravely contrary to the just love of self. It likewise offends love of neighbor, because it unjustly breaks the ties of solidarity with family, nation, and other human societies to which we continue to have obligations. Suicide is contrary to love for the living God." But fortunately, God's love is unconditional and it reaches beyond the grave. So there is plenty of love and forgiveness for those whose anguish is such that they take their own lives, as well as for those around them who are left not only with the sorrow of sudden loss, but also the burden of guilt. Suicide is such an extreme rejection of life and connection that when one close to us dies in this way, we cannot help but feel that we should or could have done something more. God gently holds us as we work out the complex emotions and pain. I imagine that all of our lives have been touched in greater or lesser ways by suicide. And while we can talk about suicide prevention in the intentional creation of connections and of community, and while we can learn about effective interventions in time of crisis, we need to have a bigger picture within which to place our experience. And so we return to the biblical witness that God is one of love. The message of Jesus is that we do not need to fear the angry, vindictive God of our imagination, but can rest assured that we are infinitely precious, infinitely loved. So God's heart grieves with our suffering. God stands in solidarity with those who are suffering, just as she dances with those who are rejoicing. God does not punish those whose despair leads them to take their own lives. And God does not punish those who witness their death. God stands gently with us in our grief. Our God is a God of hope. As we heard in the second reading today, even though our bodies may be letting us down, even though we are suffering, we know that this too will pass. We know that all we experience in this earthly life is temporary, and our hope is in the God who makes the permanent and yet unseen world. In that world, we experience glory beyond measure. And we also know that our God brings resurrection. There will be healing. There will again be joy. Psalm 30 says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Healing also happens after death. The despair of suicide is turned into the joy of the presence of God. For those of us who live in this plane, weeping may tarry for many, many nights. But as we turn to God, joy will always come one morning. We serve a living God who longs for each of us to know the joy of our own true nature, for each of us to be filled with the abundant life that comes from walking with God. And as we each turn again and again to God and deepen our own knowledge and confidence in God's ever-abiding love, so we will be able to meet the suffering in our own lives with peace and equanimity, and minister to those who are in despair. Let us pray. O bless, O God of eternal life, all who have died by their own hand. Grant them peace from their inner turmoil and the compassion of your love. Comfort those who mourn their loved ones. Strengthen them to face the questions of pain, the guilt and anger, the irreparable loss. Help us to reach out in death, in love, to others who prefer death to the choices of life, and to their families who grieve. Amen.